Well, I wonder, are you any good at remembering special events? You know, some are easier than others. You know, some of those days we have to remember. What are some of the easy days to remember? Children, anyone know what days are easy in the year? Yep. Christmas, there's an easy one. If you forget Christmas, you probably need professional help. Hugh? Your birthdays. Well, your birthday's easy, remembering your own birthday, but sometimes remembering other people's birthdays is quite hard. What other special days do we have to remember? Down the back, Cynthia? What? Mother's Day. Yeah, Mother's Day. It seems to be seared more in the conscience of women than men for some reason. So that can be a hard one to remember. What other days do we have to remember? Yes, sir? Wedding anniversaries. Yeah, we're not very good at wedding anniversaries in our house. Last year, Boo and I were writing a check. She said, what's the date? I said, July the 18th. And we both went, oh, happy wedding anniversary. Okay, so wedding anniversaries. There are various dates that are hard to remember because they're special to us. And some dates that are easier to remember, like Christmas, that are special to everyone. Usually, though, I think mums are better at remembering dates than dads or children. They keep those special lists, don't they? Or they write them in their diary or their calendar. They can remember. Well, the Jews have a very special day in their year. And they remember it every single year. It's mentioned four times in the first four verses of our Bible reading. Have a look down, and who can tell me what the day was? It's mentioned four times in the first four verses. Go, Rianne. It was the Passover. The Passover. And the Passover was when God rescued his people when they were slaves in Egypt. You can find it in the Old Testament in the book of Exodus. He sent 10 plagues to show the Egyptians who was really God and to show King Pharaoh who was the real boss. And the last one he sent was the Passover. Now, I've got a little bit of a DVD to show you here. We discovered before the service that when you play it through the screen, you can't see it. So we're going to try and play it through the television. And I think children, young people, if you want to come and sit down here for my talk, I've got a couple of things to show you. So if anyone wants to come here, I'll have... Kieran, are you going to come and help me? Come and sit down here. Come and sit over here, guys. I think in that corner is the best one, Bryn. Down this side. That way you'll be able to see the telly even if no one else will. So the Bible tells us that the angel of death passed over the whole of Egypt and put to death all the firstborn sons. But the Israelites were told to kill a lamb and place the blood around their door. And when the angel of death came over, he would pass over their houses and their firstborn sons wouldn't be put to death. And the Jews were very good at remembering the Passover. They had a very good way of doing it. Have a look down at verse 12, adults. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover? They took a lamb, just like at the first Passover, and they looked after it for 14 days. It was their special lamb for their household, and then they killed it. And the lamb was a remembrance that the lamb had died in Exodus in the place of the firstborn son. It was a substitute. Then they had a meal together when they ate the lamb and remembered God rescuing them. And Jesus thinks it's really important that his disciples remember the Passover with him. I wonder if you can see why he thinks it's important. If you look at verses 13 to 16, you'll see he's made lots and lots of preparations. There's already a man prepared to take Jesus and his disciples to the room where they're going to eat the Passover. He's been and arranged the place and the time and the food. Jesus thinks it's very important we remember God's rescue plan. Well, we're going to look at how Jesus teaches us through the Passover about his great rescue plan. But before we do that, we're going to sing another song together. And you guys can stay here to sing a song. I'd quite like you to have a Bible, though. So do a song. Do you think you can go and grab me a Bible and come straight back? Do you want to go and do that now? It's a song we learnt last week. Therefore, it doesn't need introduction. But it's a song about the way Jesus has rescued us. And it quotes verses from the Bible that tell us, in rescuing us, Jesus has taken our sins as far as the east is from the west. Let's stand to sing. By the way, if you want to see where we're going with this talk, you'll find some headings in your notice sheet. And the first thing we see from Jesus and this meal he has with his disciples is this. Jesus knows you better than your mum. Jesus knows you better than your mum. You know how your mum can almost always tell if you're up to something. You know, when you're small, like little younger guys, it just seems sometimes, just by the way you look, she knows that you've brought those worms in from the garden and they're hidden in your bedroom. Sometimes she can just tell by the way it's suddenly gone very quiet upstairs that something's going on. And when you're a little older and you've had friends around and you've spilled that drink or that food on the carpet, it doesn't matter how hard you've tried to clean it up. With her special sense, she knows something has happened. Mums are like that. They just seem to know what's going on. Very few people know us better than our mum. But Jesus, no one knows us better than Jesus. Let me read you verse 17. Have a look down at it. When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were reclining at the table eating, he said, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." Jesus knows that one of his followers is going to tell the people who want to kill him where they can find him. The other disciples, they don't know who it's going to be. They're sure it's not going to be them. Did you see them say that down in verse 19 and 20? They were saddened, and one by one they said to him, "Surely not I." "It is one of the 12," he replied, "one who dips bread into the bowl with me." These 12 were Jesus' special friends. They'd lived with him for 3 years. They'd been to all the parties he'd been to. They'd been on all the trips he'd been on. They'd had a fantastic time together. They'd done everything together. But we know back from what we saw last week in verse 11 that it is one of his special friends, Judas, who is going to betray him. Back in verse 11, we read, I'll start at verse 10. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray Jesus to them. They were delighted to hear this and promised to give him money. So he watched for an opportunity to hand him over. You see, Judas thinks that money is more important than Jesus. So he'd rather have money and get rid of Jesus. Even though he knew Jesus was very special. Even though he'd seen that Jesus was God's king, even though he'd seen how much Jesus loved people, he still thought money was more important. So he'd rather get rid of Jesus and have money. Now, it's easy for us, children, to think that Judas is just a very, very bad man. Maybe that's the way you think, adults. Judas is just a very, very bad man. Maybe we're a bit like the other disciples and we read this story and think, well, surely not I. But actually, we do betray Jesus every time we act as though something is more important than him. Maybe you're someone who does that all the time. You're not actually following Jesus as your king yet, but you're living as though you were boss king in your own life. So you don't really even think about Jesus most days. You don't plan your life with Jesus in charge. You plan your life as though you were in charge. As though your money or your career or your friends at school or college or even your family or doing what you want when you want are all more important than Jesus. It's actually even easy to betray Jesus when we're one of his followers. When we are a Christian, we betray Jesus all the time. So adults, we put our desire for other things before our desire to serve Jesus. So we ignore him. Maybe even we ignore his people when it's just more convenient for us to do something else. And children, we go through days not thinking about what Jesus would want us to do, but actually just getting on and doing what we want to do. Not thinking about the way Jesus would want us to treat other people. And the crazy thing is, we act as though as long as we can pretend to each other we're following Jesus, and as long as we can pretend to each other we're generally doing the right thing, or as long as we can convince ourselves we're okay, then that's okay. But Jesus always knows what we're really like. See, my mum doesn't know everything about me. She knows me very well, but I'm very glad that my mum doesn't know everything about me. But Jesus does. He knows everything we do and everything we say. He knows everything we think. He knows our hearts. He knows how much we love him and how much we love ourselves. He knows how much we love other people and how much we love ourselves. He knows who or what is number one in our life. And if it's not him, then we're betraying him. And that's very serious. Look to what Jesus says down at verse 21. The Son of Man will go just as is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It will be better for him if he had not been born. See, it was God's plan that Judas should betray Jesus, but that didn't mean it wasn't his fault. No one forced Judas to do it. He did what he wanted. Now, Jesus knows how badly we treat him. He knows that a lot of the time we act as though he's not around, and some of the time we wish that he wasn't around. And that's very serious. The Bible calls that sin. It actually says it'd be better not to be born than to die a sinner. Because the punishment of sin is death. Which is why the very next thing Jesus does is such good news. You see, Jesus knows you better than your mum, but Jesus also loves you more than your mum. I guess most people would say that, well, no one really loved them more than their mum. Sadly, not everyone can say that. Sometimes mums aren't as kind or as thoughtful as they should be. But in general, mums love us very much. But Jesus loves us more. Because even though we act day by day as though he doesn't really matter, he still loves us enough to die for us. Look what happens next, down in verse 22. Jesus said, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, take it, this is my body. Now at the Jewish Passover, they had special bread to remember the bread they'd eaten the night that they'd fled from Egypt. It was bread that was flat because they hadn't had time to put any special stuff called yeast in for it to grow. And they ate this bread to remember how God had rescued them. But Jesus says now that when you eat bread, if you're one of his followers in his special meal, it's not to remember the rescue back from Egypt. It's to remember his body. You break the bread and eat it to remember Jesus' body. You see, it's the night before Jesus' death. And he's just about to go to a cross. In the Old Testament, it was the body of the Lamb who died that rescued God's people. But now Jesus says, remember my body, because I'm going to rescue you with my body. In fact, Jesus has been telling his followers again and again and again. Sometimes mums are like that. They have to tell us again and again and again. And Jesus has been telling his followers again and again and again in Mark that he's come to die. He's told them three times already. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, he says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He came to give his life to take our death, to pay the price that we owe for the way we've betrayed Jesus. So he says, take to the disciples, eat, remember my body that's going to be nailed to a cross for you. And then look what he says next in verse 23. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, and they all drank from it. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many, he said to them. He took wine, and there was a cup that they drank in the Passover meal that had wine in it. Again, it reminded them of what God had done in the rescue. And he took this cup of wine, and he gave it to each of his disciples, and he said, drink from this, drink from it. But don't remember the blood of the lamb that was shed back in the Exodus. When you drink a cup of wine as my follower, remember my blood shed for you. Now the word covenant really is about our special relationship with God. And the problem is that because of the way we treat him and each other, we don't deserve a special relationship with God. We don't deserve his friendship. We actually deserve his punishment. But as Jesus' blood is poured out on the cross, he takes that punishment in our place. Like the blood of the lamb that was put on the doors at Passover time, so the angel of death passed over. It turned the angel away. So the blood of Jesus shed on the cross turns God's anger away from us because Jesus takes it onto himself. Jesus says, remember my blood shed at the cross that means you can be one of my people, the blood of the covenant. Now let me ask you, do you see how much Jesus loves you? Do you see how much Jesus loves you? He died so that you might be forgiven, even though you treat him so badly. I guess lots of us here believe in Jesus, but maybe we've forgotten how much he loves us. Maybe we just don't feel day to day how much he loves us. We haven't done what Jesus told us to do, which is remember my body. Remember my blood. It's why actually meeting with God's people as a church family is so important. It's why making the Lord's Supper, that meal where we drink the wine and we eat the bread, is so important, because we remember Jesus' death for us. And as we do that, we remember how much he loves us. We have a birthday list in our house. Any of you children, do your parents have birthday lists? Do they write it down on a calendar or in a diary? We have a birthday list in our house. Great idea, as long as you read it at the beginning of the month. So what happens in our house is the birthday list is often used to remember the birthdays we've just forgotten. Because we get to the end of the month, oh no, it was Fred's birthday this month on the 3rd and we've forgotten again. I mean, that is so stupid, isn't it, to check the list after the birthday. But so often we believe in Jesus. We say we follow him, but we don't take time to remember him, how much he loves us, what we don't share in his special meal that he gave us to remind us how much he loves us. It might be you're here today and you've never realized before that Jesus died in the place of his people. You've never accepted his love and the forgiveness he offers. Well, we've got some booklets on a table on the way out. I'd love you to take one and read about the real Jesus. The one that you ignore and betray, and yet the one who died in your place so that you can be forgiven. Why not read about the real Jesus and see how much he loves you? Because it's a wonderful thing to be part of God's big family. Because lastly we see, Jesus gives you a better life than your mum. Jesus gives you a better life than your mum. He knows you better than your mum. He loves you better than your mum. And he gives you a better life than your mum. Now, I'm not going to get too medical here. Some of you will breathe a sigh of relief. But you live within your mum before you were born. And then you came out and you grew up in the world. And she's mostly done the best she could do for you. But she couldn't sort out two problems you've always had. She can't bring you into God's family, and she can't stop you from dying in the end. But Jesus can. Look down at verse 25 with me. It's the last verse we're going to look at. I tell you the truth, says Jesus. I will not drink again of the fruit of the wine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God. Jesus says, I'm not going to have a cup of wine again until I drink in God's kingdom. The Jews knew from the Old Testament that God's kingdom was heaven. And heaven in the Old Testament was sometimes pictured like a great party. It was a party where everyone was friends with God and everyone was friends with each other, and where they had the best party food and the best party drinks, and they enjoyed it forever. Jesus is saying, I won't be able to have another drink before I go to heaven. It's a reminder to his disciples, his followers, about how soon his death is. Remember, his death is less than 24 hours away. But it's also a reminder that his death will make it possible for them to be in God's family and to live with him forever in heaven. Jesus calls it the kingdom of God. It's made up of people who follow God's king, Jesus. If you follow Jesus, then you are in God's family. And you will live forever in the perfect place after you die. Or maybe before you die, if he comes again soon. It'll be a perfect life. No one will be sad. No one will get sick. No one will be unkind. And no one will die. Everyone will love God and each other. So let me ask you, do you know for certain you're going to be there? I think there are two ways to know if you do. Firstly, you'll know that you've betrayed Jesus and you still fail to put him first all the time. But secondly,
you'll know that Jesus died. Not just Jesus died on a cross for people, but Jesus died for you. That his body was nailed to the cross in your place. And his blood was poured out to rescue you. You see, it's rescue time, and Jesus is having a meal with his friends. And the purpose of the meal? To teach us that he comes to rescue us through his death. Jesus knows you better than your mum. Jesus loves you more than your mum. Jesus offers you a life better than any life your mum can give you. Why does he do that? Because he loves you. What should you do? Accept it and remember it today and every day. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that even though you know us inside out, you still love us, and you went to the cross to die for us. Please help us to remember that every day as we wait to go to be with you in your wonderful, perfect place of heaven. Please help us, Lord Jesus, because of your great love, to love you and each other for your name's sake. Amen.